Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So now we have the Pandavas, now they've come home. Because they were late, then Kunti Devi was in great anxiety that something may have happened, because they are incognito, someone could find out. They are there with the other kings they may have recognized. So she's in anxiety. So when they come back from, you know, that they go out for alms begging and everything like this. And as a regular thing, she may say, yes, you all share, you know, amongst yourselves equally. And so then, but this time when they come back, then Arjuna's very, you know, very upbeat, and he says things in a very poetic way. You should see the special arms that we got today, what the jewel that we have brought. And so instead of inquiring about that, she just reacts in her, you know, just in the regular way she does, just out of relief that, oh, they're back. And then she just naturally just says what she says. Then when she figures out what she said when he come into the room with Draupadi, not, you know, they're, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, food or something, or like a pumpkin or, you know, something like that. But then they figure out, oh, something's wrong here. So now she's worried that what she said won't come true. You know, then Yudhishthir, this, that, and so many things. So then he's thinking about, you know, what is there, what's in the Shastra. And he was saying, so Yudhishthir is saying, no, we will, it's not a problem. You've said whatever you said, however it is, like this, and, you know, Arjuna, you know, won the Swayamvar, he's going to marry Draupadi. And so Yudhishthir's mind and the other Pandavas, it's done, you know, so there's no problem, no anxiety. Then Arjuna makes the point is, I can't marry the girl first because, you know, you're the elder brother, so you have to marry her first, then Bhima, then me, then the twins. Like that, and then because they had never thought about that they're all marrying the girl. And so then they're thinking about that, because it's, you know, what is the history of such a thing? You know, there are examples in Vedic history, but they're very, very rare. They're very ancient. When we say ancient, it means it's not within this cycle of, you know, it goes back, you know, previous days of Brahma, or even back to the, you know, various early kalpas, you know, in like this. And so then, seeing that, Yudhishthir makes then the point that, okay, there is some evidence like this, but the main thing he's thinking is not just this, because they're not worried about, oh, you know, this is interesting to them, and so therefore let's find an excuse. It's a matter of Vyasadeva said that go there and it'll be good for all of you, and Arjuna should take part. So they just, you know, naturally interpret it to mean Arjuna takes part, he wins the girl. But he did mention they'll all benefit. So then Vyasadeva now, after the fact, is looking at it. Maybe that's what he meant. So now they will see what's going to be happening. So we're up to that point now. So then they've all thought, okay, we could all marry her. And so then now she starts to reciprocate their feelings and all that. They're all feeling very happy. Upon hearing, so he says, we shall all marry the blessed Draupadi. Upon hearing Yudhishthir's words, all the brothers smiled broadly. Yudhishthir was equal to their father Pandu, right? Because he's the elder brother, he represents the father. His authority was final, his word to them non-different from an order given by the Supreme Lord himself. So that's what, whatever he says, whatever he decides, that's what they do. They may appreciate it or not, but they'll do. And if they have something they don't appreciate, they'll discuss it with him. You'll see as Mahabharata goes on, so many times they'll discuss it with him, especially Bhima or Draupadi. But it doesn't mean that after having heard what they have to say and considering everything, and then he explains some Shastra, what is the actual thing, then they'll take what he says. That's the whole point. That's the piety, is that it has to be by authority, it has to be based on Shastra. then when he gives the evidence and all that, even if they've thought something else, when they see the proper evidence, they accept it. It's not like, no, no, I'm attached to whatever I think. Draupadi must surely become their wife. They all now glanced openly at her, and she looked down shyly as they pondered the import of Yudhishthir's command. The potter came in to inform them that they had visitors. Krishna and Balaram were at the door, right? Because they had their little place, their little apartment in his house. They're staying there. And so the main door is not going to be their door. It's the door to the house. They're staying in a room or a section of the house like this. And so then the potter will be the one who will, you know, how you say, the potter will be the one who greets Hari here, right? No? Hari Potter? Yes? No? Okay. The two Yadava heroes entered the room and saw Yudhishthir seated on the floor surrounded by his brothers. With his powerful shoulders and well-developed arms, the handsome prince resembled Indra sitting amid the principal gods, right? So he is here. Powerful shoulders, well-developed arms. So generally when we always think of these things with Bhima or Arjuna, but all the brothers are very, like Yudhishthir, he's one of the best at javelin. That means you have to throw it. That means you have developed arms. So then they're very strong. It's just amongst all of them being of celestial strength, then Bhima's more powerful than that. That's all. And Arjuna has, you know, they all have great Kshatriya abilities. His prowess is that bit more. Does that make sense? So the standard is up here, and then they're a little bit, you know, so they're all religious. Yudhishthir's that bit more, you know. So it's just like that. Krishna folded his palms and said, "I am Krishna, and this is Baladev, my elder brother." Because they've never met up to this point, right? This is their cousins, but they've never actually met. So this is the first time they're meeting. The Pandavas were delighted to see their cousins. They stood up at once, and Krishna touched Yudhishthir's feet in respect, because that's why you may say, well, why is Krishna folding his palms? Because Krishna is you know, on the same level as Arjuna, so they're equals. But Yudhishthir is senior to them, so he'll be elder. So then, yeah. He embraced Bhima and Arjuna and received the twins' respect. Both Krishna and Balaram also touched Kunti's feet as she shed tears of happiness upon seeing them. Yeah, because she's the, she'll be the aunt, right? Because she's the sister of Krishna and Balaram's father, right? After they had all exchanged appropriate greetings according to their status, the Pandavas gazed at Krishna. They marveled at how, although he was the supreme lord of the entire creation, he had accepted the role of a human being and was now their relative and friend. Krishna inquired after their welfare. Yudhishthir replied, "We are all well, Krishna, but tell me, how did you manage to trace us?" Right, because no one else could understand. So how did they, one is, how did they figure out them, and how did they find where the, because they're staying, because they were outside, the whole kerfuffle was going on inside. Then as soon as they, Krishna and Arjuna, as soon as the kings decided, okay, we won't fight because Krishna had called, that means Krishna's inside, they just took the opportunity to leave. So that means Krishna's still inside. So he's asking, so how did you find us? Krishna smiled. Fire is always visible even when covered. Who but the Pandavas could have performed such feats at the Swayamvar? O conqueror of foes, by sheer good fortune you have escaped from the fire. By the same good fortune have Duryodhana's sinful plans come to nothing. Be blessed. May you grow in prosperity as a fire in a cave gradually grows and spreads itself around. Right, so the fire's in the cave, you don't see it, but slowly as it burns, it comes out, and then it can go bigger. So, like that, he's giving them that blessings. Krishna then said he had to best leave before he drew attention to the brothers and gave away their disguise. Because Krishna Balaram go there, then everyone's going to, oh, Krishna Balaram, why are they there? Why are they visiting a potter? Well, he has some guests. Well, who are those guests? You know, who is Krishna? You know. So he says, better we leave. So he just came in, said this and that, and then is leaving. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily say anything like that. But his point is that they're always visible. That's why when they stood up, Krishna, everybody else is looking at the girl, then they see the Pandavas. Like that. He and Balaram stood and left quietly. The Pandavas sat for some time thinking about Krishna. They were heartened by his show of support and encouragement. They felt sure that they would soon be restored to their proper position in Hastinapur. Unknown to the brothers, Drishtadyumna had also followed them back, and was now lying concealed near the hut. He watched in surprise as Krishna and Balaram came and went, right? So here are these guys, these Brahmins, at the hut. You know, and so, okay, maybe some other Brahmins come and said, we heard you're staying here, and it was really nice, and, you know, this and that, and giving blessings, or wow, that was special. You know, whatever it is, it's going to be there, depending upon their age. But Krishna and Balaram are coming to visit some Brahmins. So they must be special Brahmins. Otherwise, why would Krishna and Balaram come themselves? Otherwise, they'd send their men, invite them, bring, you know, someone bring them back, and then they would, you know, there'd be some formal thing, you know, unless it's Narad Muni, he just comes in on his own, flying with his Veena. So he's already surprised. Who is this? You know, you have Potter's Hut, a bunch of Brahmins that won the Swayambar, held off all the other kings in a fight, you know, and then just left quietly with no scene. And then Krishna Balaram are visiting, you know, who are these people? Who are these Brahmins that the two all-powerful lords felt the need to visit? They must not be ordinary ascetics, right? Because everybody knows Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Lord. At the same time, they're playing their part, just playing as humans. So therefore, those who are devotees, then they appreciate it, like you see the Pandavas, you know, just how nice Krishna is, Bhakta Vatsala. And those who are not devotional, like Duryodhana and that, will just take them as ordinary. You know, and then taking them as ordinary, they won't actually see who they are. So they won't pay much attention. Krishna Balaram, they won't pay much attention, unless it's good for their political advantage. Drishtadyumna cautiously moved closer and peered through the window. Kunti was instructing Draupadi how to prepare the Pandava's meal. She told the princess that after having offered the food to the Lord and giving a portion to the Brahmins, she should divide what was left into two parts. She should then give one half to Bhima, means one of the parts, and divide the rest between the other four brothers and themselves. So in other words, they'll get everything, whatever they get, they beg, they'll offer to the Lord. From that, a portion is given to the Brahmins, right? Because anyway, even once a Brahmin, one still gives in charity. Sometimes the mistake is made that, oh, being Brahmins or being a temple or that, then we receive charity, we never give charity. But the point is of the six duties of a Brahmin, dana pratigraha. So he can receive charity, but dana, he must give charity also. So he's always going to give something. So even though they begged and all that, they give charity something, then what's left, they divide it into two portions, into half. So one of the portions, or half of what's left, goes to Bhima. Then the other one, you divide it into six portions, right, for the four brothers that are left, and for Kunti and Draupadi. Drishtadyumna watched as his sister carefully did as she was instructed, giving half of the food to the huge-bodied youth. Right, because they're all very young, remember, who had thrown down Shalya in the arena and distributed the remainder to the others. After they had all eaten, they laid down to sleep on beds of deerskins spread over soft grass, their heads pointing towards the south. Kunti lay across the line of their heads, and Draupadi lay at their feet. Right, because if they're south, then that means, because you can, when you sleep, you should sleep with your head either to the east or to the south. Right, east will give energy, south will give restfulness, like this. So then, the point is that how they're sleeping. Then Kunti is going to sleep at their head, Draupadi at the feet. So then, if they do that, they have to be able to face east. So only if they face south, then Kunti can lay at that side and face east, and Draupadi at that side and face east. So that way, everybody's taken care of. So they put down some grass. They leave their deerskins on top, and then they all just sleep. Drishtadyumna saw her smiling in great happiness as she accepted her new apparent humble position, right? Because it would be that, okay, she's a dutiful girl, she's there with the Brahmin, she's in this little hut, she's used to the palace, and so then You know, it would be probably be a more sobering experience for the girl because she's come there. It's the first time just meeting the mother-in-law, meeting the family, the brothers, and then the new situation, how they live and everything. So she'd be paying attention, doing everything very properly and being very formal. But he can see that she's really happy, not even just a little bit. Oh, this is pleasant, but really happy. So you know, this also, what's going on? How is it these Brahmas are making her so happy? Why did Krishna and Balaram come there? And she's a devotee of Krishna. So, you know, it means something far out's going on here, something out of the ordinary. As they lay there, the brothers began to speak together. From his position at the window, the prince heard them talking about celestial weapons, chariots, elephants, bows, arrows, and swords. They discussed the battle with the kings in the stadium, laughing as they described how Bhima and Arjun had routed the bellicose monarchs. Right? So, this is the discussion, right? Because this is the point. They're going to, now they're relaxed, they're going to discuss things that are interesting to them. This is what they're discussing. And not only that, they're discussing how they fought, how they defeated, and they're laughing about how, yeah, this one, this, that, you know, then he spun and then he threw him 100 feet like this and that. And, you know, so many things they're discussing. Because if they were Brahmins, they'd be discussing some Shastric point or point of the Yajna or some point in Puja or, you know, some other thing like that, some detail of cleanliness or some understanding of Brahman like this. So that's the point. So this is Dhrishtadyumna. The prince had seen and heard enough. It was obvious that these men were powerful warriors, right? Just by how they behaved there, how things like that. But powerful means, but how are they powerful? Because of their character. You know, that's the whole thing. Surely they were royalty in disguise. Dhrishtadyumna left quietly and went back to the capital to inform his father of everything he had witnessed. Back in Panchala, King Drupada was anxious. His beloved daughter was gone, but he did not know who had taken her. He pondered on the day's events. Who was that man who had hit the target? Was he really a Brahmin? Maybe it had been simply by luck that he had succeeded in the test. You know, you're going to think like that, because it can't be luck. All the kings of the earth come there, and they can't do it like that. So it's not just he's just going to come there. Perhaps he was a Vaishya or even a Shudra, right? So, you know, good chance not. Casting Draupadi's noble line into disrepute. Or maybe he was a great hero of the royal order. Then why would he have disguised himself as a Brahmin? Because that's the point. They just come in as Kshatriyas, okay. But no, they came in as Brahmins. Perhaps he was actually Arjuna, somehow survived from the terrible fire at Varnavata. Surely that was too much to hope for. Because that was the whole intent at the time of Draupadi's birth, was to have a, because he wanted the son to kill Drona. But at the same time, it's because he was personally defeated by Arjuna in such a very, you know, how you say, valorous way, and how he dealt and everything. He, you know, in other words, he never dealt with them badly. He was firm. He dealt in the proper Kshatriya things, aspects. But he didn't, you know, there was no anger, there was no envy, there was no jealousy, there's just very cultured and all that, and the prowess that was there. So he wanted a daughter to marry this guy. Right. In other words, he wanted a son to kill Drona, and he wanted a daughter to marry Arjuna. So Drona defeated him through his disciple, but he wants his daughter. He wants to be have a connection with that person. But Drona, he's not impressed. It was the way he went about it. It would have worked in a Brahmin, but for a Kshatriya, then it was they don't forget. Like that. Since that's what he really wanted, then he's thinking, because they had heard that they had all died, that it would be too much to think for, because that's what he wants. If he lets that hope come back to life, then if it doesn't work out, then he'll feel really bad. So you're always very careful about having a desire that is in your heart that somehow or another has been lost, allowing it to come back up because it's so strong. Unless it's going to be confirmed, right? As the king sat absorbed in thought, his son entered his chamber, right? Because that's the thing, is that night, then after they've had their dinner and done all the different things that they do and seen everybody off, then at that, the king can either go to sleep, at that time, or that's the time when he can sit in silent, like personal contemplation. Like there's some big event in the kingdom, or you know, something great work that has to be done, or consideration. That's one of the times they can sit peacefully. No one's going to bother them. It's very quiet. At the day's over, there's no responsibility, so there's nothing to do, right? The only thing to do is go to sleep. So then you can think really, really clearly. So many times they may, at that time, take that time to do. So that's what he's doing. He's sitting that time at night. And his son went out, and so now then they'll discuss. He can also, if he wants, bring the prime minister, discuss things at that time. So like this. After bowing at his father's feet, the prince described everything he had seen. Drishtadyumna was convinced it was the Pandavas who had won Draupadi, and he happily explained how he followed them to a hut on the city's outskirts, how Krishna and Balaram had visited, and how he had heard them speak the language of warriors. Right? Because Brahmins are going to talk in one way, the Kshatriyas another. Vaishyas will be talking about business, you know, some profit, some new opening in the market, or you know, something, you know, like now coronavirus, people are talking about, oh, this one, that, how many people have this one died. Businessmen are going to talk about losing money or opportunities. Now this comes up, now we can make money this way. So like this, everyone's going to talk in their own way. The two Brahmas who fought in the hall left and joined the three others. They appear to be brothers, right? So this is what, so he gave his conclusion so his father's not in anxiety. So that's one of the things of the Vedic, is you give simple just the conclusion, then you explain, like that. In their midst was a lady who shone like fire. I believe she is their mother. They spoke together in voices as deep as black thunderclouds. There's no doubt that these men are neither Shudras nor Vaishyas, right? Because you won't see those qualities. So they have to be either Kshatriyas or very special Brahmins. They are certainly of the royal order. In my opinion, they are the Pandavas who are living in disguise since escaping Varnavata. Drupad was extremely pleased by his son's words. As soon as dawn broke, he called for his priest and asked him to go to the potter's hut to ascertain the Brahmins' identities. The priest left at once and, arriving at the hut, applauded the Pandavas for the prowess. Then he said, O worshipable ones, the great king Drupad desires to know your names. Please tell me your family name and race. Are you by any chance the Pandavas? It was ever the king's wish that his daughter be united with Arjuna. If this has transpired, then nothing could be more conducive to our fame and virtue. Right, so Drupad is seeing that his line is already glorious, and if he connects to the Pandavas, right? Duryodhana he couldn't care less about, right? They're the emperors of the world. That politically, yes, it's a good alliance, but as far as he's concerned, it's not. That's not something special, right? Because they have no character. They have the power. They're in the seat there, but how long that will last? So it's just, you know, the modes of nature are taking care. But if you're connected to the Pandavas, now that's something glorious. Or you're connected to Krishna and Balaram, that's something glorious, right? Because his daughter was a devotee of Krishna. So that must mean in the family, then they're either devotees or they're favorable in any case. Yudhishthira turned to his brothers and said, bring water and wash this Brahma's feet, right? Because the Brahma walked in, just started talking and this and that saying. But the point is you have to greet him first. You know, because many times, because he doesn't know, he's just going, he doesn't know what's going on, because if they're Brahmins, then he's just talking like that. They may or may not respect him in that way, but as Kshatriyas, they have to receive the Brahmin. He is worthy of our worship because he is Drupad's royal priest. We should especially respect him, even if they're Brahmins, but he's Drupad's priest, and Drupad's is now the father-in-law. And being the father-in-law, then therefore his priest must be respected. Bhima immediately did as his elder brother had directed. He had the priest sit comfortably, then offered him argya. Yudhishthira then said, O Brahmana, the king fixed a certain price for gaining his daughter. She was not given freely, right? So that's his point is pointing out. She was given freely, then yes, you can ask all these questions. But the price was set, the price was paid, so why questions? You can't ask questions. That wasn't part of the price. If the price was, yes, you come forward, give your whole lineage, this and that, not hit the target, and after that, then we'll have a few more questions. And no, it was just hit the target, then it's done. Therefore, he has nothing to say about the lineage of the man who has passed his test. All his questions about our family and race have been answered by the stringing of the bow and striking down at the target. Right. So he's speaking very exact here. Is that he set the standard? It was done. That answers all questions, because that's what he wanted. That's what he got. So then, in other words, he wanted a qualified man who could do this to marry his daughter. He got that qualified man. So in that case, then he can't say more. Yudhishthir smiled. He assured him that Drupad need have no regrets. His long-cherished desire would soon be fulfilled. Draupadi was clearly endowed with the auspicious marks of one who would be married to kings. The Pandava continued, "What man of low birth or one unaccomplished in arms could have shot down the mark? It was done fairly, and there is no one who can now undo that act. The king should not grieve." As Yudhishthir spoke, another messenger arrived to tell him that a great feast had been prepared in the city. He asked the Pandavas to please come with him to the king's palace, where the wedding ceremony could be properly performed. See, it's because when they have these Swayamvaras, or this a Rakshasa marriage, or these kind of aspects, or a Gandharva marriage, but the point is then after, you know, when the arrangements can be made, then you have the proper full, you know, proper ceremony. So then the Brahma rite, where the daughter is then, you know, dressed very nicely and coming out, and then the Kanyadan, where the father pours the water and all that, and these things, that's the standard wedding. But these other ones then connected that these are the ones that are going to go through this. Right? So the Brahmins will just make the arrangement, and then it happens. Kshatriyas, then they may have Swayamvara, or may have the Rakshasa marriage, you know, Rakshasa, where they kidnap the girl. But then afterwards, you always see that they have the ceremony afterwards. It always happens like that. Like Krishna took Rukmini, he went back to Dwarka, they had the ceremony there, you know, and the other family members, they came. Or we see is that Arjuna took Subhadra, and then he left, they invited him back to Dwarka, then they had the ceremony. So you always have like that. So it's not that just they took the girl and that's it, it's done. So now it's natural that there's going to be some ceremony, because the father generally does the ceremony, so then naturally it'd be at his palace, so there's going to be some nice thing they want to invite, because now the son-in-law, the daughter's there, they make nice arrangements, all those kind of things. So that's where we leave now, is for them to go to the palace. So then we'll hear what happens at the palace next.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.